Well, as you know, this past Sunday was Mother's Day. And on Mother's Day, most people I know find some way to show love and appreciation and honor for their mothers. But the question is, can we do that in good conscience? Why would I ask that ridiculous question? Well, listen to Jesus' words, beginning with today's gospel reading. Jesus says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Wow. I mean, not only does Jesus say you can't be his disciple unless you hate your mother, he also says that you can't be his disciple unless you also hate your father, your spouse, your children, your brothers and sisters, even yourself. So what's going on here? Is Jesus actually saying that we have to hate all these people? Well, I'll explain that in just a little bit. However, before I do, I want to talk just a little bit about the sermon title. The sermon title is, "Salvation Costs Us Nothing and Everything." In fact, that word "everything" is key to understanding what Jesus means when he says we have to hate all those people. But first, let's talk about what it means when Jesus says that salvation costs us nothing. As you know, forgiveness of sin and eternal life is a gift from God. A free gift. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. Salvation from sin, death, and damnation is a gift that costs us nothing. Paid for by Jesus' life, death, and resurrection for us. You know what that means? When the guilt and shame of our many sins weigh us down, when we feel terror and horror over the fact that even just one of our sins deserves eternity in hell, during such times, we can come to God with our guilt and our fear, knowing that He will forgive all our sins and give us eternal life in His love because of His Son. His Son who died in our place of damnation and conquered death for us. This awesome salvation costs us absolutely nothing because Jesus paid the full price for us. But then what about the end of my sermon title? Salvation costs us everything. Am I suggesting that after God saves you, you actually have to do something in order to stay in the kingdom? Am I suggesting that once God saves you, you have to prove to Him that you're worthy of His love? No, that's not what I mean at all. You see, when I say that salvation costs us everything, what I mean is that being a disciple of Jesus means great sacrifice in this world. Or as Jesus put it, you have to take up your cross. Once God saves you, that means you die to your old way of life. That's what it means that it costs us everything. Our old way of life, our old way of unbelief, that dies. And we live the new life that God has given us as a free gift. So salvation costs us nothing, but it does cost us everything in that we completely turn our backs on our old way of life. And we face the fact also that living for Jesus in this world will come at a cost. It may mean great sacrifice. In fact, we need to understand what Jesus means when he says that word disciple. You see, the word disciple means one whose life is disciplined by means of instruction. In other words, to be a disciple of Jesus means that you believe in him, but because you believe in him, you are willing to be taught by his word. In fact, that reminds me of what Jesus said at the end of Matthew's gospel. After Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to his disciples, he said to them, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to treasure all that I've taught you." Here we see that when unbelievers are made disciples, two things happen. First, God adopts them as his children in the waters of holy baptism. That's how you become a disciple. It's all God's act. But the same God who makes you a disciple in baptism, also nurtures you as a disciple and helps you mature as a disciple through his teaching. That's why Christian instruction, growing in God's Word, is an ongoing, lifelong process, because without that ongoing instruction and nurturing in God's Word, you know what will happen? The faith that God gave us in baptism will begin to grow weak, and God forbid, may one day eventually die. That's why after we become disciples in baptism, we must continue to grow and mature as disciples through the ongoing instruction of God's Word, lest our faith grow weak and die. Now, with all that understood, we're ready to understand what it means when Jesus says the following: if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, my friends, this is a good example of where you have to let Scripture interpret Scripture. People run into huge problems when they take one or two verses from the Bible, pull them out of the context of the rest of Scripture, and then try to make sense out of them. So obviously, if we pulled this verse out of the context of the rest of the Bible, it sounds like Jesus is teaching us that we have to hate all these people. But that's not what he's saying at all. For example, the same Jesus tells us in his Word that we should honor our fathers and mothers. That's why we have Mother's Day and Father's Day. Remember the fourth commandment? That's from God, from Jesus. Also in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul commands husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And then in his first epistle, the Apostle John tells us Christians that we are to love one another. You know where he got that from? He got it from Jesus, who at the Last Supper said to his disciples, "Love one another as I have loved you." In fact, you know what the same Jesus also said? The same Jesus also said, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." So then, if all that's true, and it is, what does Jesus mean when he says we have to hate our spouses, parents, children, even ourselves? Well, the key is to understand that Jesus is using a Hebrew figure of speech that tries to emphasize that compared to our love for God, everything else pales and fades away. In other words, the point is that we should not love others more than we love God. We should be willing to sacrifice all in order to be faithful to the God who made us, saved us, and loved us. Now, when God insists that we love Him more than anything, please understand, He's not being a self-centered egotist. It's not like God is saying, "I want all the attention. It's all about me. I want you to puff up my ego." No, that's not God. Remember, God is the one who gave His only Son on the cross to save His enemies. So the last thing that God is a self-centered egotist. So why does God tell us to love Him more than anything? Because if we love other things more than God, then those things become our gods. And false gods can't save us. When we love other things in the place of God, we separate ourselves from God, and we suffer. So when God calls us to hate everything in comparison to how we should love Him, He's warning us against idolatry, and how idolatry, worshiping false gods, separates us from His love. Simply put, if we love anything or any person more than God, if we make anything or any person a greater priority than God, well then that thing or person has become a false god for us, and we're guilty of idolatry. So why is Jesus saying this to his disciples back then and also to us today? Because he knows that the devil will tempt us to love our family and even ourselves more than him. And when that happens, we are in a position where we may forsake the faith altogether. For example, Jesus knew we'd be tempted to love family more than him. Some of us who believe in Jesus, we may have family members who are unbelievers. But you know what? We might be tempted to tolerate their unbelief or even affirm it just to keep the peace. We might refuse to witness to them, even though God gives us an opportunity to do that, because we don't want the confrontation. Or maybe our unbelieving family members or friends mock us or even threaten to disown us unless we reject Jesus. Now, maybe that's never happened to any one of us, but it actually happens to people in the world today. I've met men and women who used to be Muslims, but now are Christians. And yet, their family members who are still Muslims have completely disowned them and rejected them. They paid a high price for following Jesus. In fact, the reason Jesus speaks this way to his own disciples is that he knows that they will also have to face a choice between God or their family. Later on in Luke chapter 21, listen to what Jesus says to his disciples. He says, "You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death." So now you know why Jesus says what he does. Think about it. If your family or friends asked you to choose between them or Jesus, what would you do? Jesus wants you to be prepared for the fact that you have to choose God over everything and everyone. In addition, Jesus knew we would also be tempted to love ourselves more than him. That's why he said you even have to hate yourself. He doesn't mean that we actually hate ourselves, but he's warning us that if we love ourselves more than God, we're in huge spiritual danger. For example, Jesus knows that the devil will tempt us to follow Jesus only as long as it doesn't interfere with how we want to live, or only as long as it doesn't require any real sacrifice on our part. But the moment we have to give up some pet sin, the moment we have to have any kind of sacrifice at all, then it's very tempting for people to say, "Goodbye, Jesus. This isn't worth it." Sadly, some people have turned away from Christ because they didn't want to repent of a certain sin. Others have turned away from Christ because they didn't want to be persecuted for being a Christian. And what's really sad is that some modern-day Christians have turned away from Christ simply because they thought attending church once a week was too much of a demand on their time. Jesus then goes on to say, "Anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." What does that mean? Well, once again, Jesus is teaching us that we have to die to a life of unbelief and live as the new people God has called us to be in baptism. Remember our reading from Colossians? Paul says, "You are now God's dearly loved children." What does that mean? Dying to what you once were. Dying to the desires of your sinful nature. Saying no to them. That's what it means to take up your cross. To crucify your sinful nature. And then to rise again as Jesus rose again. To live a new life. Saying yes to God and His loving plan for you. But you see, you can't do that if you love yourself more than God. That's why we have to die to self and live for Jesus. So now you understand the meaning of today's sermon title, don't you? Salvation costs us nothing and everything. The forgiveness and eternal life that God gives us costs us nothing. Jesus paid the full price for our salvation by his death and resurrection. The salvation we have is a free gift from God. However, once we receive this gift, it costs us everything. The salvation from sin, death, and the devil that we have been given means that we now belong to God. And belonging to God means being his beloved and forgiven children and living in a world where that will cost us dearly. We need to recognize this and take it seriously. Living for Jesus in this world will come at a cost. In fact, Jesus gives us three examples of this. He says you'd be a fool to build a building without first considering whether you have enough money to complete it. He also says you'd be a fool to go into battle when you know there's no chance for you to win. He also says that if you are like salt, but you lose your saltiness, then you're good for nothing. How does that apply to our lives as Christians? Well, you'd be a fool to call yourself a Christian if you don't take seriously what it means for your life. You see, there's more to being a Christian than just going through the motions on Sunday morning or Wednesday night and then living as you please the rest of the week. That's not Christianity. If you don't take your faith in Jesus seriously, then not only have you rejected Him, but you also cannot be an effective witness for Him in this world. What Jesus is saying is, I've given you the free gift of salvation, but living as my child in this world comes at a cost. And there's no way you're going to be able to face that challenge on your own. You're going to have to keep your focus on me and rely on me. But if you don't, if you love your family or yourself more than me, then when the going gets tough, you're going to give up. You're going to cash it in. So Jesus is reminding us, living for Him in this world will cost us everything. Therefore, we must rely on Him and keep our focus on Him. My friends, being a disciple of Jesus means saying no to the evil behaviors and false teachings that God condemns, and yes to the good behaviors and faithful teachings that God commends. And we can't be His disciples unless we're willing to do that. You see, if we refuse to turn from the evil behaviors and false teachings that God condemns, if we refuse to do the good behaviors and believe the faithful teachings that God commends, well then we're not believers, no matter how much we try to convince ourselves that we are. For example, when people are confirmed, they're asked this question: do you intend faithfully to conform all your life to the divine word, to be faithful in the use of God's word and sacraments, which are His means of grace, and in faith, word, and action to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? As Christians, we say yes to that, but the only way we can do it is to continue to grow in the Word of Jesus and have Him nurture our faith and sustain us with His forgiveness and love. But what happens if we cut ourselves off from that lifeline? Well, you know what happens. Many young people and even adults who have said those words and made a promise in front of God's altar and in front of His people, many of them haven't been to church in years and have no desire to hear God's word and apply it to their lives. Now, of course, I'm preaching to the choir. I mean, you're here tonight, aren't you? You're here because you want to hear God's word. You're here because you believe God's word and you want to apply it to your lives. But you see, Jesus' words in our gospel reading are not merely for those people out there who have strayed from the faith, the people, by the way, that we're supposed to love and witness to so that they will come back. But tonight's gospel reading is also for us. It's for people like you and me who are in church on a regular basis and hear God's word. Why is Jesus' gospel reading also for us tonight? Because God knows that we could so easily fall away just like the others if we don't count the cost and keep our focus on Jesus. Why do so many people who once believed in Jesus now no longer take their faith in Him seriously? Because they didn't count the cost. They forgot what it means to be a Christian. They took their focus off of Jesus, and their faith was no longer being nurtured by His Word. And then, when living for Jesus started to get tough, when living for Jesus required sacrifice, they turned away from Him because their faith had no strength left. You see, my friends, we need to hear this, especially in America. Being a Christian is hard. And the only way we can do it is to keep our focus on Jesus and rely on His strength and His strength alone. Now, having said that, let me say something about myself. You see, I don't attend church, I don't go to Bible class, I don't pray, I don't seek fellowship with other Christians because I think I'm better than others. No. The reason I attend church, The reason I go to Bible class, the reason I pray, the reason I seek fellowship with other Christians is that I know that I'm a sinner who doesn't stand a chance against this world and the devil unless I'm being nurtured and disciplined by God's Word and unless I receive the loving support and accountability of God's people. You know, it's interesting when I try to reach out to people who strayed from the church and see no need for worship. Some of them say, well, you know, you people who go to church, you just think you're better than everybody else. I say, really? Do you want to know why I go to church? I go to church because I know I'm a good-for-nothing sinner, and if I am not constantly being nurtured by God's Word, I will so easily fall away from Jesus. I'll fall away in a heartbeat. I need the Lord. I need His people. I need the support of the church. And then I say to them, you know, maybe it's the other way around. Maybe it's you who are the arrogant one. Because you think you can be faithful to God without Him and His people. You see, Jesus is trying to rescue us tonight from that kind of foolishness. He knows that living for Him in this world is going to come at a cost. And if we're not being nurtured by Him, if our focus is not on Him, it will be very easy for us to turn away and walk in the opposite direction from Jesus. Well, after giving us this loving warning, Jesus says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Well, we've heard Jesus' words. What now? Well, I must confess, my friends, when I hear these words of Jesus, and you need to know I've heard them and I've read them many times over the years, these words of Jesus always convict me. You see, have I always been a faithful disciple of Jesus? No. Have I always loved God more than other people or things? No. Have I always said no to the desires of my sinful nature and the temptations of the devil? I'm ashamed to say that I've sinned against God more times than I can possibly imagine. Have I always said yes to the good things that God would have me do? Sadly, once again, I've failed my loving God more times than I can imagine. And I'm sure that you would all make the same confession tonight. But I also want you to know something else about me. I agree with God that all my sin is horrible and deserves hell. I also believe God that through His Son and His death and resurrection for me, I am forgiven and holy in God's sight. I also want you to know that I want to be faithful to my Lord who saved me by His death and resurrection. And I'm sure that you'd also be willing to make that very same confession. You see, as you've heard me say many times, being a Christian doesn't mean that you never sin. Being a Christian means that you grieve over the sin in your life, you trust in Jesus for salvation, and you rely on Him for the strength to live a new life. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, living every day in repentance and faith. Therefore, because Jesus loves you so much, He warns you today to count the cost. He wants you to know that when you go out in that world, living for Jesus every day is going to be hard. In fact, I need to let you know that being a Christian in America is going to be getting a lot harder, not easier. There are Christians around the world who know what it means to count the cost and to sacrifice much to believe in Jesus. The day may come for us, and there's no way we're going to be able to stand firm unless we keep our focus on Jesus and His promises, unless we're being nurtured by His Word. We need to count the cost. Living for Jesus will be hard, but we can do it if we rely on Christ and keep our focus on Him. My friends, Jesus wants to keep you from ever reaching the point where your faith will grow weak and die. So today He reminds you what it means for you to be His disciple. It means to daily repent of your sins and acknowledge how horrible they are. It means to daily rejoice in the forgiveness and salvation you have as a free gift in Jesus. It also means that daily you strive to grow in God's Word and conform your life to His holy will for you. That's something we do every moment of every day. not just for an hour on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. In closing, as God's forgiven children, we know that His salvation costs us absolutely nothing. It's a free gift. But at the same time, we also know that His salvation costs us everything. Living for Jesus in this world will require great sacrifice on our part. It means saying no to our sinful self and yes to God. But you know what? It's worth it. It's totally worth it. Who cares if our family and friends reject us because we follow Jesus? Who cares if the world mocks us because we follow Jesus? Who cares if we lose everything that the people of our culture hold dear because we follow Jesus? Who cares? Because we have a real treasure in Jesus. That's what Paul meant in our second reading when he wrote these words. Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from obeying the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. You see, Paul knew that his greatest treasure was the free gift of salvation he had through faith in Jesus. That's the greatest treasure. If we have that, we have everything. So my friends, as you leave this place tonight and go out into the world where it can be very hard being a Christian, remember, as you keep your focus on Jesus, as you allow yourself to be nurtured by His Word, you will remain faithful and you will always be comforted by His promises. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.